Hello, everybody. How we doing today? Welcome to OKOK. We're listening. And tonight's show, we'll be talking about co-parenting. Tonight, I have a very special guest, a friend of mine for many years. His name is Mahdi Martin. He is an activist, a humanitarian. When things go wrong in communities, he is the first one to stand up to voice his opinion, to help out. When things were going wrong with the hurricanes in Florida, he got a crew of people and went down there with a truckload of water to actually support the actual effort of helping out people out there. The same thing that happened with Flint, Michigan, he was involved with that as well. And two truckloads of water and a crew of people from Rockland County, New York, in particular Nyack, and also Spring Valley, New York. And he drove out there with his crew to go out there and help out. He's also a person that does not just deal with the African-American community. He's also involved in the Native American community as well. When we have issues in that particular community, he is the man to call upon. So please welcome to my show, my good friend, Mahdi Martin. Hey, Mahdi, how you doing today, sir?
Hey, what's up, Greg? Wow, man, that introduction, that was something special, brother. Thank you, man.
No doubt, man.
Thank you.
What other things are you doing in the future in the community that people might want to know about or help you out with, man?
Some of the things that we have coming up in the very near future is our group, We the People, and it's never me. That's all I kept saying as you were doing the introduction. I'm sorry, it's never me. It's always us. So I can't even take credit as much as I appreciate it, but I always have, you know, a cast of brothers and sisters around me that are always so helpful in everything that we do, honestly. It's not even
Absolutely.
Just one person. So I want to start with that. But right now, the most recent thing that we have upcoming is December 5th, my group, We the People, George Brooks started the movement, came to us behind the scenes, contacted a few of us, and got some tickets apparently to the Smithsonian National Museum of African American History down in Washington, D.C. And we've been raising donations to get a bus to take some of the children from the Martin Luther King Center in Spring Valley, New York, 110 Bethune Boulevard, which I'm a board member of. And Art Lord was very instrumental in helping us pick out the children that would otherwise probably not get an opportunity to go see a site like this. And also some of the kids down at the Nyack Center. I understand that Nicole Hines was very instrumental. My friend Doobie Guillotine, very instrumental in things down in Nyack. Appreciate his help as well. That's going to be coming up December 5th.
That's
a Tuesday.
So, Mahdi, if we
right
wanted to make
that,
a donation.
Right after that, we have the shelter for the streets. We have the shelter for the streets. I'm a part of the Book Bank Foundation. Dr. Glenn Toby, D'Anthony Johnson, myself, Brian Carinard, a.k.a. Saigon. He got me started with the Shelter for the Streets Book Bank Foundation. 2012, my dad passed away. And what we did is we went on a tour of the five boroughs, handing out toiletries, necessities, clothes, toys to homeless shelters throughout, like I said, the five boroughs. And it was such such an overwhelming experience, honestly. Homeless people that were worse off, and you know, Brian had a chance to share his experience. A lot of people had a chance to share their experiences, and I've been going ever since. So I want to say special shout out to Dr. Glenn Toby for all his help, and of course Brian for all he's done as well.
Cool. So Mahdi, if we wanted to help out with the efforts, donate or anything like that, how can we get in touch with your foundations?
Well, we're on Facebook, of course, on social media, the Book Bank Foundation. The Martin Luther King Center has a website as well, Martin Luther King Multipurpose Center in Spring Valley, New York, the Nike Center, same thing. On Facebook, you can always check my Facebook page, Mahdi Martin, my Instagram, Mahdi Martin, all my name. No funny names, just my name, just me. You can contact me. I'll be happy to point you in the right direction. If I don't have an answer, I'll find somebody that has the answer and get you the right answer or point you in the direction that you need to be in.
Well, cool, Mahdi. I really appreciate you coming out tonight and speaking to my audience. So let's get started with our show. Are you ready?
Yeah, no problem, boss.
First of all, I would like to open up the phone line. So if you guys have any questions or comments to any topic question that we have today, feel free to call us at 515-605-9703. Once again, that's 515-605-9703. I want women to call in at first so we can get your opinions, because this show is based off of you. We want to be able to explain everything and anything that you guys have to access. And then later on in the show, I'll open up the phone line for the gentlemen. So, Amadi, the first question I have for you, what does co-parenting mean to you, and does it really work?
All right, well, before I start off, I'm going to say thank you to Lauren Melton for being very influential in my efforts with co-parenting. She's been my rock when it comes to helping taking care of our daughters and my son as well. She's been great. She's been the bridge between my son's mother, and she's just been awesome. Co-parenting to me is the ability, to me it's the ability to be parents to a child or children without necessarily having to be together. Sometimes circumstances exist that don't allow two people to get along, but they need to coexist for the purpose of the child, for the well-being and the welfare of the child. And it's very important that you have an understanding when you're co-parenting.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you with that, Amadi. When it comes to the child life, we can't just be selfish as individuals just because, you know, we break up and we don't have a relationship anymore. I'm talking about a mother and a father, that the child's needs are not put in front. I think that's the most important thing when it comes to co-parenting, not necessarily thinking about, well, the next time I could get at this particular woman and next time this woman could get at this particular man. It shouldn't be a weapon or a tool for you to actually have a relationship with their that child's biological parent. Does it work? Yeah, I think it really works. You know, for me, for instance, when I was growing up, my mother and father separated when I was a very young age. And my dad, even though he lived half an hour away, he was very involved in my life. He was at all my games when I was a child. And that meant a lot to me when I started arguing on the field and I could hear my father screaming from halfway across the field. I just knew that, you know, he was there. That's important. It gave me an extra oomph. And my mother, you know, my rock and my foundation, she's always been there for me in my corner. It's just a thing that I think that it's needed when a family breaks up. And also when you even think about it like that, you know, we grew up in the same neighborhood, Amadi, and my block that I grew up on, Valley Drive, New York, in Manuel, New York, / Spring Valley, New York, that was my house. I don't think there's any house that I had on that block that I had to really knock on the door. You know, if I wanted to go and get a hot meal, I could come to your house, the Turnbull's houses, the Oates houses, the Rose's houses, the Green's houses, the Lucian's houses. I could go to any one of those houses on my street, and I was considered like family. So the community and also the co-parenting process, I think it's being lost right now because, you know, we are stuck inside. Children don't go outside and play outside. They don't involve themselves within their community, and the parents or the elder people do not do that. You know, with that particular thing it being in part of this conversation right now, Amadi, you know, how do you feel about this community and community parenting? Do you think there's a vital thing that we have to do as individuals, as adults, or you think is this something that the parents should just take care of themselves?
Well, no. Well, real quick, I didn't want to interject. I didn't want to cut you off because, I mean, at the end of the day, I do have to see you in person, so I don't really feel like going through that. So you're still my big brother. But you said something very important, what's key. Your dad was the loudest person at the games. I make it to most of my son's games. The only ones I miss are when I have to work or I can't make it back from Elizabeth, New Jersey in time. I work in Elizabeth. It's not close to Nanuet, obviously. But I'm not LeVar Ball to say, you know, my son plays basketball. I cheer loud. I do talk to the referee. I make sure he knows I'm there. I make sure my son knows I'm there. I make sure that's just what
that's
I do.
That's a beautiful thing.
Well, that's rather people like, that's just how you guys, that's how my community, that's how my block raised me.
Yeah.
You go
yeah.
through enough, you just end up not having any fear, honestly, at a certain point. So I'm just going to say what I'm going to say and what's on my mind. I don't really have much filter. So with that being said, though, you're right. I mean, community plays a huge part. On our block, your mom was able to get at me if need be. Sandra's mom had no problem getting at me. Absolutely. I mean, the whole mantra about it takes a village to raise a child was factual, and there was much evidence of that in our community. Rather was the Mendozas, rather was the Turnbulls, rather was the Jenkins. I mean, who could forget Mr. Jenkins, God? but I mean, yeah, Mr. Rose, I'm sorry, not Mr. Rose, Mrs. Rose, so much. You know what I'm saying? Like, there were a lot of people that were very instrumental and could always get a handle on us and that we learned a lot from. And that was a big part growing up in our community. Can't really put a value on that, honestly, Greg.
But that's the thing. Like, our children need that. Like, we don't think, or maybe we do know or do think that our children understand this, but they really, really feel like a place inside of them that's saying, hey, people care about, people love me, not just my parents, the people around me. They're cheering for me. They know who I am. They support me. They know when I'm doing wrong. They try to bring me back in to the right fold. I think that is lacking right now in today's society. And I think us as men, we need to be able to set that standard so everybody else can actually follow, especially in the black community, because once they leave our community and they go back into the real world, you know, we have all these different types of violence that's going after these black men or these black girls or black women. And we're their safety blanket. So we have to make sure that we got to stop taking this high road and say, we don't have to take care of somebody else's child, or I don't have any children, I don't have to worry about them. Well, yes, you do, because this is what's going to be helping
road,
you when
bro.
You get older.
That's not a high road, though. Mm-hmm. That's not a high road, Greg. That's the low road. That's escaping responsibility. That's basically dodging accountability. You know what I'm saying? And that's not acceptable. I mean, one of the things that you guys taught me, along with, I got to give credit to my big brother Bernard down in North Carolina. I got to give credit to T. Les. I got to give credit to you. There's some things that I went through in my life that made me who I am to this day. And I got to give credit to certain people. And it made me realize that, you know, like, regardless of what's in front of me, I need to say what's right. I need to say what's in my mind, what's in my heart. I need to let it out. When I hold it in, later on, it becomes a lot worse. So I feel like whatever's right, sometimes I'm surprised at some of the things that come out of my mouth. But because of the simple fact that I feel like it's right, you know what I'm saying? So if I feel like it's right and it needs to be said, and I'm speaking for people that normally wouldn't have a voice, like, I have no problem telling somebody in our neighborhood, you know, like, what are you doing smoking at the end of the block? You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't live here. You know what I'm saying? What are you doing? You know, we had a situation like that on our block, as a matter of fact, when you were gone. And, you know, it got escalated, you know. But, you know, like, I had no problem telling kids, you know, like, listen, you can't be around here. You don't live here. And when they were disrespectful, you know, things got, you know, it got handled, and that's what's supposed to happen. Like, I feel like we as black men sometimes want to shift the accountability to somebody else, as opposed to, and I think that's why I have the people that I hang out with now. Some of my older friends that have grown up now, they're coming back around, and we all see things the same way. And honestly, to have them around nowadays gives me, you know, more energy. You know, my man Teddy's back around. Teddy Best is back around. You know what I mean? Like, certain people are back around in my life that help empower me, to give me more power to say, Hamada, you're on the right path. You know, you're doing things the right way. And I have that. I keep those people around me. And I noticed the people that didn't provide that type of energy, that positive energy, have basically fallen by the wayside. And, you know, if they decide to come back around at any given time, I'm still going to be here. Forever changing, forever evolving, forever wanting to do more to help people that don't have a voice, or for people that might not be able to stand up for themselves or don't have the understanding of what exactly it takes to be responsible and helpful to people in your community. Because at the end of the day, I mean, you look around, we all we got.
I think it's more that, you know, and I think we're getting a little bit off subject here, but I think it's more that black men in whole are more fearful to speak up or to speak to the young youth, or to even speak up in the community, or even be accountable for, like you're speaking on, and they allow the other races to actually do that for us. And that's where we are actually missing the boat. And that's another show that we can actually definitely dive into later on. But let's continue on, Amadi. I got another question for you. Do you think is important that both child's parent or both the parents are going to be involved in the children's life, or can a single parent just make it on their own?
Yeah, no, a single parent can. I mean, but if you have the opportunity to have both parents in a child's life, why wouldn't you take that opportunity? I can speak for
Absolutely.
Me personally. You know, I've been very instrumental in my son's life, no matter how difficult my son's mother may or may not have made it for me to be. I think one of the most important things for me, especially getting out of the situation that I was in, was that I had to learn to separate my feelings about my son's mother and about the feelings that I have for my son. And the priority was always my son. And I felt like at least him having the both of us in his life was way more important than me being with her and being in his life. So in order for me to be the best parent that I could be, I needed to, at the time, we were both toxic for each other. So I needed to separate myself from that situation and just focus on him. And the reality is I needed to do that. And in my life personally, it made it, I don't say easier to deal with my father's passing, because it wasn't easier. There's nothing easier about your father passing. But it made me realize that I needed to prepare for my father's passing, and not just for myself, but for my mother and for my son. So it was very important that I had my son and I was a part of my son's life.
Yeah, I think that's an attribute that people don't even look at, Amadi. It's about, what does your child think? Like, let's just say you and your son's mother was arguing, and you just hate her guts and you don't want to deal with her no more. Well, that is still your son's mother. And how your son looks at his mother is not the same way. It's not the same way that you look at her. So you have to keep that in mind. Like you said, you got to separate that first relationship that you had that was you and her being together. And now you have to understand you have a new relationship with her, that you are a father and she is a mother of the same particular person. So that's the most important thing that has to come in. Marty, we have a phone call. So let's see what we have on the line and see what they have to say to this conversation. Welcome to Okay, We're Listening. State your name and where you're from. Hello. Well, it seems like our caller has a bad connection, Mike. We could keep on going.
All right. Well, I mean, just like to go back to when I was thinking about, because even like now, I needed to take a second to think about what I was going to say next, because I have to be mindful of the fact that regardless of how I feel about my son's mother, especially at this time, I have to be respectful to the fact that even I treat it like my son's listening now. You know what I mean? Because I realize that you have to be more mature. And there's times like I really, really want to tell you how I feel. You know what I mean? But out of respect for the growth and the maturity that I've developed over the years, I've learned to keep that to a minimum. Even when people get disrespectful, I got to remind myself that I've taken it as far as it needs to go at times, and the only situation I've ended up is in a really, really bad situation, which cost me a lot of money. And I don't ever want to go back there again, honestly. So the fact that I know that my son needs to know that I can respect his mother, and the fact that I know that he has to learn how to eventually treat women as he grows up, that I have to exhibit a great amount of self-restraint when dealing with his mother. So there's a lot of times that I have been able to take my feelings out of the situation, since there really are none. The only feelings I have in regards to her being successful, so that my son can be successful in life, he needs to see that. But other than that, I needed her to understand that when we talk, it's not about her and I. Like, not to sound heartless, but I could care less. But I need to know that my son's mother is in the right state of mind, that she's making the right decisions. And like right now, I can't allow her, though, to tell me that you're going to allow a 12-year-old child to make a decision for us. I mean, the way we were raised, our parents made the decisions. That's what it was.
Right.
You know, you wanted to, you were going somewhere. You were going somewhere. So like
you bring
sometimes
up something
in
really
the co-parenting.
Important,
in
you bring
the co-parenting,
up something really important. Go ahead.
And the co-parenting aspect of it, sometimes you end up having one parent, I don't want to say wanting to be on the child's good side, may cater a little bit more towards the child to maybe get a point up, if you would. So you have to be bigger. I have to be bigger and learn to not always get into those type of arguments. And the negative part about it is that when the other party has feelings involved, you have to fall back, and sometimes your child may not be able to go on certain events with you or be able to see the family at certain times if you have family from out of town, because due to the legality of the courts, it's not your day or not your weekend. You know, like my situation, I had to go to court to get custody, to get joint custody of my son. So, you know, like, I fought for my son and will continue to always fight for my son, no matter how much it costs in terms of time or money. That's just where I'm at, you know?
No, I absolutely understand, and it's a very valid point, but I can't call it a carryback in, so let's see what this person's asking us. I actually want to get back to something with you, so please remind me. It's basically talking about, you know, you making that transition. Hold on 1 second, Amari. Let's see what our caller has to say.
Here.
Hello. Welcome to OK, OK, We Listening. Where are you calling from? What's your name?
I'm calling from Rockland, New York. My name is Watson.
Hey, Watson, how you doing today? So you got a comment
What's
or question?
What's up, Watson?
How you guys doing?
We're doing well. How you doing, sir?
What's going on, Watson? How you doing, brother? This is one of
good,
the gentlemen,
man.
Greg, that has helped and has also been. Sorry, Watson. Got to give you a proper introduction. He's been very instrumental with the water drive to Flint. Him and my brother Doobie Guillotine went down to Haiti and delivered the containers down to Haiti. They've been to Florida with me.
Cool.
Yeah. So this is Watson. As a matter of fact, you had an opportunity to meet him, so I'll let y'all talk.
We met each other in Georgia, my man's house.
Yes, absolutely. I remember you. How you doing, Watson?
Yep. Good, man. So, well, you know, the subject seems very intriguing, you know, so I was just doing a little bit more listening, you know, from others, you know, and me growing up in a single-family home, even though my mother wasn't, you know, basically dealing with no co-parenting because my father had passed away, being the innocent kid, like what you were saying before, just trying to understand the era that we grew up in and the era that people are growing up in now is completely different. So I'm very eager to learn more of how the innocent kids think now, so that way while I'm raising my daughter, who's happened to be 2 years old now, I can make sure I do some serious sacrificing to make sure that I try not to go the route of co-parenting as much as I can, and God willing, for the rest of my life, you know?
So you said you try not to do that route because you don't have a good relationship with your...
No. I have an excellent relationship with my wife. Everything's going well and everything's good.
Oh, okay.
You know,
okay.
I'm just very eager to learn, and also any way I can
help
others along the way, I want to make sure that, you know, I can get some more knowledge along the way.
Oh, absolutely, Watson. Thank you for calling in, and hopefully we'll get the answer to your questions today and give you some information that could actually help you out with you building a better community up there in Rockland County, New York. Thank you for calling in, sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Watson. Thank you very much, Watson.
Okay, man. Bye-bye.
All right, so next question I have for you guys, or actually for you, Amadi, is why do some men – well, actually, you didn't remind me, Amadi. I wanted to find out what you were talking about. That what made that transition that you had – that made you understand that you didn't have to fight your son's mother anymore, and that you needed to be more involved in your son's life and allow her to help you raise your child?
My dad passed away.
So something dramatic happened in
October. What happened?
So something dramatic happened in your life to make you wake up. So I want to make sure that you give our audience, especially our men out there that don't want to do this, or the women that don't want to do that, that they have an understanding of why this has to happen. You know, something tragic happened. You know, you say your father, I say our father died in 2012. It was a great loss that we both felt. And that thing changed in my life as well, too, because he was a very instrumental part of my life. But, you know, what about these guys out there or these ladies out there that don't have that particular thing happen to them? What are things that they need to understand that if they don't do these things, you know, what can actually happen to their child? And you basically saying your father died, that made you more mature in a aspect of being a parent. We just want to make sure that everybody out there could be that same exact way. So what type of things that you think can make them transform their life or what things they need to see within their children to make sure they understand that this is an important role?
Well, me personally, I watched my dad take his last breath that night, and it changed my life as I just watched him. And I remember the reality. I mean, that was Hurricane Sandy was coming, so we were stuck at the crib. We couldn't really move. But the reality after it was that my mom was kind of paralyzed. She couldn't move. She couldn't really do anything. And I watched my son gravitate closer to her, making sure he stopped by more often. And I realized that I couldn't just sit on the sideline anymore. I was the man of the house, literally. And I couldn't stand on the sideline anymore and keep in my childish ways. Running around, and I just had to figure it out. So went and got a job, and I remembered a lot that my dad had taught us. He grew up in the segregated South, so a lot of that history is lost. So one of the things that I did notice is that my dad was private about a lot of things. He sheltered me from a lot of things that happened whenever we would go certain places, but it had to do with a lot of the way my father raised me. The way that he wouldn't allow me to speak to him, it created a gap between us. And I wanted, there were some things about our relationship that I always wanted to make sure that I never had that issue with my son. And one of them was the communication, so that no matter how upset my son gets, I want to be able to always be able to listen to him, no matter what he's saying or how he's saying it. I need to listen to what he's saying with his heart. Because even if he's not able to put it in words, I need to hear what he's feeling. And if I'm not listening, then I'm never going to hear what he's feeling. So I learned to listen to him, and I don't ever want to be to the point where I'm so overbearing that he's scared to talk to me. So it's a delicate balance of, because my dad was my friend, but he was never my friend as in terms of we were on the same level. We were never on the same level. He made it more than clear that I was just, that he was my father. And of course I had the opportunity to watch him work side by side with my mother. And he showed me what it was to, work with a partner, a mate, somebody that actually wanted and had the same ideas and goals in life with you. So I can pretty much pattern a lot of what I do now with my girlfriend to what my dad did with my mom. Honestly.
And I say this all the time, man. Growing up in the neighborhood, and I used to come by your house, and, you know, what, 6 o'clock when that train came by and your dad come home, and me, you, and your mom was doing something, and all of a sudden, she just stops once he walks in the door, and she greets him. And she greets him with a kiss and a hug, and they show their passion towards one another, and then they get back to their business. And I've never seen anything like that growing up in my household, because obviously, you know, my parents divorced. And that's something that I took with me as an adult to say, hey, I need to make sure that my children actually can see love within my house. If I can't show that, then, you know, what kind of example am I going to lead to them? Because I know your parents left that on me. So I make sure that I know these things, that I'm conscious of these things, and I actually display these things. So my daughters, when they get older, they know how to treat their husband, and they know what to expect from their husband. So they don't have to grow up in a house that their husband or their boyfriend leaves them, and they don't have a good foundation. And you're right, it's all about communication. Without that, everything else goes by the wayside. So,
well,
Greg,
Watson wanted some information. Let me give him some information in terms of some examples, some facts, some specific examples of our childhood. So everything was calculated. So my dad would get up early in the morning before I went to school, and he'd make breakfast every morning. My dad got up and made breakfast for me. So I do the same thing for my kids. When my son's over here, I make sure he has breakfast. I make bacon, eggs, and grits almost every morning they're here. I make it for Sydney. I make it for Madison when she's hungry. Lauren doesn't eat grits, so, you know, it's eggs, sunny side, and bacon. Keep it moving. But every morning,
cook,
you know, I make breakfast. She makes dinner. You know, dinner's ready for me when I get home from work, just like my dad and mom were. I mean, it's really no different. I mean, 6 o'clock is the news. 6 o'clock is the local news. 6:30 is the national news. 7 o'clock is Jeopardy. 7:30 is Wheel of Fortune. 8 o'clock used to be the Cosby Show. Now we go to TV One and watch the Cosby Show in a different world. It's amazing also that some of these TV shows that we grew up on, that's what actually, that actually, I want to say confirmed, but actually gave solace or gave backing to what my parents were teaching me. So even to this day, like, we end up watching Good Times, Different World, Cosby Show, like I said, shows that have substance that helped keep the community together. One of the key things that I haven't said yet that I wanted to get out, regardless of how far we go with this conversation, is the thing that makes people change that I've learned, especially with my stay down in Elizabeth right now, is your interaction with people. How you interact with people is crucial. So people always ask me, well, Hamadi, how are you going to change things? Well, I can't change everything on a grand scale, but I can. Mm-hmm. I can change it by the way I interact with people on a daily basis. So I work in Elizabeth, not to get too far off topic. Give me 5 minutes, okay? So I get to work at about 6 o'clock in the morning.
You got two.
And, two, no problem. So I work down there, and I'm realizing I'm their first interaction of the day with people that might not have had a great night, trying to figure about childcare. You know, they can't make but so much money because they might be on rent-controlled, you know, subsidies or whatever. But I'm their first interaction of the day. So I greet them with a smile. Good morning, brother. Good morning, sister. My kids see the same interaction wherever I go.
Mm-hmm.
That is so crucial. I push my son to be more outgoing, to greet somebody when he sees them. Hello, how are you doing? Proper greeting. You can change people's outlook on life by the way that you're speaking to them.
Absolutely.
Sometimes people have no idea how powerful their words are.
Absolutely. You can have a terrible day and somebody comes to you and say, hey, how you doing? And everything just changes from there. You could have been really depressed. You could have been wanting to take your own life and someone just comes and say hello to you because at first they thought nobody wanted to talk to them. So, yeah, Mike, you're actually making a positive role model for your children. I really applaud you for that. But before we go any further, I got a couple of people on the phone and they've been waiting patiently. So let's let them come in and voice their opinions. Thank you for calling. Okay, we're listening. State your name and where you're from.
Hi, my name is LaTanya. I'm calling from Rockland County, New York.
Hey, LaTanya, how are you doing today?
Good.
Good evening, LaTanya.
I'm doing well. Hi, Hamadi.
How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. I am listening in to the show, and just my heart is just so full and so very, very pleased. I just really just wanted to call in and say thank you, brothers. For sharing your soul in a way that we don't usually get to look in. So I thank you for giving us the peek into the soul of a brother. It matters.
No doubt. Thank you for calling and telling us how you feel.
Thank you,
really
Tanya. Thank you very much, Queen.
Absolutely. Be blessed.
You
thank
too,
you.
Sister. I got another call on Mari, so let's see what they are saying. Hello, welcome to Okay, we're listening. State your name and where you're from.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Kara from Rockland.
Hey, Kara, how you doing today? You have a question or comment for us?
I'm fine. Excuse me?
Do you have a question or comment for us, Kara?
Yeah,
Kara, what's
do.
Up,
Hi.
Kara? How you doing?
Hey, Hamadi, how are you? And you know
I'm
how proud
well.
I
I'm
am of
well.
You.
I'm doing well,
I know
Queen.
You're doing
I recognize
well.
The voice.
Tell your mother I said hello. But listen, I have a question. Because I'm a single parent raising my 9-year-old. Greg, how are you? This is Tara Gales.
Well.
That's
hey, how
are
you doing?
I'm fine. But I'm a single mother raising my 9-year-old. And at first, his father didn't have anything to do with him at all.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's coming around slowly.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm trying the best I can.
Mm-hmm.
I try to involve him with his other side of his family, but I'm not going to push him off on them.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
But, Hamadi, I noticed that you said you hang out with certain people, and these certain people, they have kids, but are they doing the same thing that you're doing with your son? Because I know what you've done with your son. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So
you know what's funny you said that because – my situation is interesting because you just know how much I love on my son. But, like, I sometimes have to learn the level to be like, all right, now it's adult night. You know what I mean? I involve my kids in so much because I always want them around me. Sometimes I got to be like, all right, guys, you guys got to stay behind. You know what I mean? But to answer your question, how do you do with that? What I've learned is you have to let the other person come around, honestly. Trying to force somebody to love their child or to understand the importance, all you can do is help facilitate and give them the information, and then you have to allow for them to either grow into that information and make a decision that they want to be involved, and hopefully they're around the right people that influence them to do the right things. You know what I'm saying? My situation was just something that, thank God, I already had that in me because of my dad, and I just kind of snapped out of what I was going through when he was gone. But your situation, just keep doing what you're doing. Keep bringing your son around so that he knows his father's there, and keep talking to his father
Absolutely.
Whenever you can. And like I said, every day, one day at a time. That's all, slowly.
But you know what, Hamadi, you know that I'm involved in a lot of different things here with Head Start and everything like that. And
Absolutely.
I feel like if I call for his other side to help me out while I go to work or to do something positive and they tell me no, they can't do it, you know, it's like I'm not going to push my son off on them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But my son loves his other side of his family.
Yep, but you can, unfortunately. Like, I learned that the hard way, and what I was told is, honestly, and it was just as upset as I was to hear this, I had to eat it. Your situation is with the courts. You have to deal with the courts, right? Now, as a self-respecting black man, I know that my relationship with my son, my love for my son, does not rely on the courts. You understand what I'm saying? But legally, yes, it lies in the court. So I had to kind of eat that because it's part my reason why that situation is where it's at. So I have to live with, quote unquote, the sins of the father, if you would. So there are some things in life that,
but,
like, life is not fair. There's some things you just have to deal
with.
Let me
interrupt you for a minute. I've went to the courts. They tell him he's supposed to pay child support. He paid when he good and ready to pay. Do you understand? It's only so much the court can do. I'm not telling them, I want him to have visitation with my son or our son. You understand? But if he's not even going to pay his child support when he's supposed to.
But all that.
You know, what
that's tricky.
You can't. This is one thing that I have learned that you cannot do. You cannot speak for your baby's father. Whenever you're speaking to your son, you have to be able to nurture him. And like what we were talking about earlier, sometimes that comparison doesn't work. More of the community has to work. And, you know, you have brothers out there.
That's why I have an excellent support team.
Absolutely.
Because that's where it all started from, my support team that I have.
That's what you need. And always speak to your son as a positive thing about his father. Don't ever, ever allow your mouth to say anything negative about him or his family, because then he's going to grow up and be like, damn, my mom didn't really like him. It'll backfire on you. So
you know what happens? It's when his father lies to him, then he comes to me. And I don't want to, you know, tell him, but it's like, okay, listen, Elias, I have nothing to do with that. I didn't promise you that. You understand what I'm saying?
Speak the truth.
I can't make that man do anything that he doesn't want to do.
Yeah, you just have to speak the truth to him and speak on your side of the situation. Don't ever answer for him. Don't ever answer for him. So if there's a promise that he said, and if he said something like, hey, your mother's going to get this, like, well, did I say this to you? Or did I promise this to you? You know, if your father promised you something, you know, speak to your father on that and let him answer for his actual actions.
I'm not
going to
hold you guys
up
any longer. Just
let
me say this.
Thank you, sister. I really appreciate you supporting us and calling in.
He'll call me and say, where are you? Or he wants to do this, and I say to him, Elias, don't question me. I'm grown. My father's name is James. How many parents do you have? Oh, two. Well, did you call your other parent and ask them where they're at? You understand what I'm saying? Because
right.
I'm doing all I can for you. Don't question me. Because whatever I promise him, I'm going to get it. Maybe not today when he wants it, but all his needs are met, not his wants.
When's the next time you come to Atlanta? The last time I seen you was probably about 20 years ago.
Shut up, Greg. I ain't talking.
Have a good day.
Y'all have a good night.
Take care,
thanks, Hamadi, and you keep doing
You're welcome.
Doing.
Thank you very much, sweetheart. You know that.
Good night.
All right, tell Karen I love
her. Definitely
all right,
will.
Bye.
Thank you.
Hamadi, we got one more caller that's on the line right now. This is an interesting night, man. This is beautiful. I love that the people are coming out and supporting and actually really concerned and care about, you know, the children. This is a very important topic for me, and I guess for you as well, too, Hamadi. Hello, caller. State your name and tell us where you're from. Caller, are you still there? Oh, okay. Call back, please, and let us hear what you have to say. So, Amadi, just to continue on with the conversation, you know, and I think the last caller that just called, Carol or Tara, she was
Tara.
Talking about, you know. I thought it said Carol. I knew it was Tara. I thought she was trying to come up with a code name or something. I knew she said Tara Gales. I knew who she was when she said that.
Yeah,
but,
pretty much.
But the thing is that, you know, she brought up something pretty interesting about men not want to take responsibility for their children. So, you know, the question I have for you, why do men run away from raising their children, Amon?
Because they get caught up in their own feelings, bro. Real talk.
Mm.
What happens is they feel like, all right, well, you know, done with her, or I'm going to hurt her, and I'm just not going to take care of my kid, when the reality is the only person you're hurting
is
your kid.
That's a little mature and childish, man. That kills
yeah,
me.
It is. You know what the sad part is once you, like, when you're with your kid, you and I notice, I mean, because when we're our kids, you know how it is. It's like that feeling when you're with your kids.
Ooh.
I mean, I want to hang out with my kids more than I want to hang out with any adult. Like, I don't think people understand.
Yeah, man,
like,
they don't.
That's, I don't want to, like, I love you, Greg, but I don't want to hang out with you. I want to hang out with my kids.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
if
yeah,
I had a choice, bro, we wouldn't even see each other. I'd take my kids.
I get it. I get
it. Yeah, that's just what it is. You got to respect that.
Yo, it's like, Amadi, I put this on Facebook the other day, but Amadi, my daughters and I went out to lunch. This is a regular, normal afternoon, and we in the middle of deep, deep Georgia South. Not Atlanta, down south in Georgia. Cotton fields.
Better you than me, bro.
And it was nothing but, you know, white people around. So, you know, I took my daughters out, and we had to eat. They wanted to see the lake, so I'm taking them to see the lake. They want to see the lake. They want to sit next to the lake. We're sitting next to the lake. So we having a good time. My daughter is laughing, having a good time, popping up. We're doing everything that we want to do. Not being disrespectful. We're just having a nice conversation. And then this older white woman came up to me. She said, it's a blessing that you have, that your daughters are laughing with you and you're having a great time. I was like, thank you. But, you know, I don't notice this. I'm having a good time. This is normal. So then I'm about to leave and the waitress comes to me and says, hey, your check is paid for.
Hold on, where was you eating at, though? Where was you eating at, though?
Some restaurant down south. I don't even know the name of it.
What'd you order? What'd you order, though? What'd you order?
It was a buffet. It was a buffet. The ticket must have came to like $40.
Oh, all right.
They paid for it. And I'm like, wow. That's totally unexpected. But people recognize true and genuine love for a father and their children. And it seemed like it's like a popular thing to see a father with their children.
Oh, no, yeah, you should see some of the responses I get when I'm out in public. Like, I mean, and then when I take Madison to the games or.
Yeah.
What a great time, man.
Like, well, we got callers calling in from left and right, so let's bring them in and see what they think about it. I have another caller. I think this one is from Georgia. This might be one of my people this time, Marty, so you're not taking up all the phone calls. I'll let you know people in Atlanta as well, too. I know I did invite you.
So what'd you get mad at me for,
dog?
I'm even behaving.
You.
You're complaining. Come on.
I'm not complaining, Amadi. I'm just telling you.
Got
15
minutes.
Here.
I could still turn up,
okay,
player. Let me know.
I know. Thanks for calling.
See,
welcome
you
to OK.
Much.
OK, we're
telling
listening.
You, B.
Calling you your name.
There you go. Lose control.
Caller, are you still there? Caller? Did I lose you? Call back, caller.
That's how you do in Atlanta, huh?
I guess so. Thank you for calling. Okay, we're listening. Tell us your name and where you're calling from. Caller, are you there? Hello?
Must be ATL again.
No, I don't recognize this number. It's not an Atlanta number here. One more call. We got two more callers on the line. Let's see if I can bring this one in. Hello, caller. Welcome to OK, We Listening. Thank you for calling. Tell us your name and where you're calling from. We're batting 1,000 right now, Marty. None of our callers are getting through.
I'm just going to have them call my cell phone, bro.
Maybe. Hello, caller. Welcome to OK, We Listening. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, this is Eileen from Jersey City.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, what's up? How are you?
I am
just
well.
Just want to say this. Somebody, what's going on?
Hey, what's up? Who's this?
Elaine.
Oh, what's up, Elaine? Oh, my God. What's up? How you doing? Elaine
good.
Is awesome, just so you know. Well, go ahead.
Absolutely.
I just wanted to chime in and say right quick, just from a female perspective, oh, there is nothing mm-hmm. more precious in my life, nothing more mm-hmm. precious than to see a father with their daughter, with their son. There is
mm-hmm.
just something so magical and so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Chiming back to what the other lady was talking about minutes before, there is nothing. There's always been a strained relationship with my daughter's dad and I. But there is something that I've never, ever, ever done. Like, you can never, ever talk bad about him. You can never, ever. My daughters would never, ever know if their father has ever done any wrong. Like, he was always this amazing person in their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Despite
mm-hmm.
what I felt about him, despite what we were going through. Because, again,
mm-hmm.
that is just something sacred that I hold that is so, again, so powerful. And as my daughters grew older, the dynamics definitely changed. You have my oldest daughter, who this guy is the light of her life. Like, you cannot say or do any wrong when it comes to her dad. And then you have
mm-hmm.
my second daughter, who chooses to stay away from him. But
mm.
again, these are decisions that they've had to make as adults.
And you
right?
didn't force it on them.
Made. Absolutely not. Right? That wasn't right. my decision, my call.
Right.
You know,
right,
that wasn't
right.
up to me to do. You know,
right.
so I definitely, I in saying about with you and your daughters and you, when you guys were out at this restaurant and people were making comments, I probably would have been one to make a comment because, again, that is just so special and so magical to see something like that. So, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. And I really
yeah.
appreciate you calling in and giving us your feedback.
Yeah.
This is confirmation
yeah,
for myself and also Almighty that we are doing what we're supposed to do in the community. And we're trying to uplift our community, our children, our friends' children, everybody's children, so they can understand what a true man is. Thank you very much for calling.
Absolutely. Much respect. Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn.
All right, Almighty.
Take care.
All right. I've got two more callers, Almighty, we can take in, and then we got probably one more question we could get to. Thank you for calling. Okay, we're listening. Let's state your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Joy from Atlanta.
Hey, Joy, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I was calling to talk about why the fathers are not in the lives of the kids or
okay.
why they run away from responsibility. So I would
yeah.
encourage the audience to look up a show done by Oprah, and I want to say either T.D. Jakes or Iyanla VanZant, where they talked
mm-hmm.
about they had audiences full of fatherless sons and audience.
Mm, I thought that episode actually.
Yeah, of dads who were not there. And one of the things for me as a single mom that was a big eye opener is that a lot of times guys may not be there because they don't feel like they are man enough or that they can provide what the child needs. So sometimes for a mother, it's like, well, you're just stuck, right? So whether you can provide
right.
or not, you just got to do what you got to do. But
right.
a lot of times the guys get that choice. If they don't feel like they're up to the job based on their self-esteem or whatever's going on that's unresolved in their lives, that
right.
they actually just leave. They would rather leave
right.
than not fulfill their duties.
Mm.
So it can be more of a
lot of that has to come from
well,
a lot of that has to come from
thank
a lot
you,
of a lot of things in life. There's so many things in life that have affected us as a community. So a lot of the responsibility has to fall back on our shoulders though. So we can't keep blaming what happened. We need to address what happened, and now we need to take accountability and now take responsibility for moving forward what happens with our
mm-hmm.
children and our people, right? Our community,
mm-hmm.
our culture.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that's like you got to just stop. You can't put the past away though and forget it, but you also have to move forward. I think a lot
mm-hmm.
of us get stuck with, well, you know, with this attitude, this laissez-faire attitude of like, well, it's not my problem. I'm not a role model. Yes, you are. Got news for you, bro. You're a role model. Whether you like it or not, my son sees you. He might like you. He might like your style. Might feel some type of energy about you. Bam, you just became his role model. So guess what? Now you do something that's, you know, not positive or is not influential to him that I feel like he should be following. If I'm close enough, I'm going to have a conversation with you, letting you know. Listen, what you're doing is affecting my child.
But, Marty, even with you saying that, like, for me, if I didn't grow up on the block that we grew up on, I wouldn't have that instilled inside of me, Marty. Like, in my household, I didn't learn how to tie a tie. My father wasn't there. No, nobody was there to teach me how to shave. My father wasn't there. You know, my father, you know, he came on the weekends and came to see me, but when I was going through all those things that I needed a man to help me out with, he wasn't there. So I learned that by going to your house, speaking to your dad, or going to the Turbo's house and speaking to them. You know, that's how I understood what a man is supposed to be. Not taking anything away from my dad, he just wasn't in the house. So the closest thing I had was actually going to my next door neighbor. But a lot of these men that's growing up don't have that opportunity in mind. They don't understand what that is. So when you see is natural and normal, because you really put it blunt, you grew up in a very, very unique and loving household. A lot of people is not growing up that way. So they don't know any better. They don't know any different. So that's why this show is here, so we can actually talk about these things and let people know that it's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to be weak. It's okay that you don't understand things, but now it's time for us to, like you say, stop using that as an excuse and find out how to do these things and how we can actually help out our community. How can we help out this child that we see that's in need? We know that this single woman lives down the street. She has three children. There's no men over there helping her out, and that we will go over there and help her out without asking or thinking that we're going to get anything from her. We just try to raise her child up to be a proper gentleman or a proper woman. But before we even talk even more about this, somebody, I have another caller. This caller's been waiting for 6 minutes patiently. So let's see what they have to say. This person looks like it coming from New York City. New York, New York. Let's bring them on the air.
Hello.
Thank you for holding for all this time. Welcome to OK, OK. We're listening. Say your name and where you're calling from.
Tamika.
Hey, Tamika, how you doing? Where you calling from? From New York?
New York, Queens.
I love my New York love. How you doing, my sister?
I'm good. Well,
you have a question
I'm actually
or
calling.
For?
Hello?
Yes, you have a question or comment for us?
I have an actual comment. Well, it's for me. I was raised up with a father and a stepmother. And a lot of things that I've learned as a young woman, I learned from my dad. As I got older, you know, my dad had someone who came into his life, and, you know, she taught me the things I needed to know as a young lady.
Mm-hmm.
And now I am a single mother of two, and
mm-hmm.
I do co-parent with one of the of my kid's father. And one, I don't. One is not involved. It's just involved whenever it's necessary for him. But
mm-hmm.
the one thing that I've always instilled in my kids is that I've always wanted them to have a relationship with their father. So it never matter how I feel, as long as they were happy and they were okay with being with their dad. I've always encouraged that relationship. And
right.
when it wasn't the way that I would have wanted it to be for them, I try to nurture them the best
right.
way I could, you
right.
know. So so I'm not only speaking as a single mother, but I'm also speaking on the behalf of me at being a child who grew up with a single dad.
Right.
And so being that kind of child, it actually helps me to evolve into
I
the woman that I am.
You.
I would have loved to be someone who has someone in my life who is always there with me, doing things with me the way I would love to as a team. But as for me, I don't have that. But I'm always willing to work with what it is that is handed to me the best way I can to make it work for me. So
okay.
that's basically, you know, what it is that I have to say. As far as single mom, it is hard. And yes, we do need males at times to stand up. Sometimes it's not even necessarily the more money support, but it's more of moral support and just being there to support you on when you're somebody who is trying and, you know, wants to get somewhere and you just need that other person to say you can do it or you can, you know. And sometimes it's really not there, and sometimes parents feel threatened. Other parents are threatened by your drive to wanting better things, and it becomes like a compete. So I'm just speaking on behalf of a lot of single mothers who are independent, who worked hard and want to get somewhere and want the best for their children at the same time, and want to encourage them to have a proper relationship with the other parents that, you know, will teach them, you know, as they get older, how they should act and how they should treat other people, you know.
Right.
So that's basically what it is that I wanted to input.
Well, I commend you on that, for first of all, that you allow that type of communication with your baby father and allow them to actually have an opportunity to speak to them and not cutting that off. So if a lot of people think that particular way, our children will grow up to be in a better type of space and to other type of community. So we really appreciate you calling and giving us your little story. We really appreciate it. And thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Well, Marty, we come to the end of our show. We got about 3 minutes, and it seemed like we're going to have to do a continuation of this show because we barely even scratched the surface of what we wanted to talk about tonight. And I'm very happy that all these people called in and voiced their opinion, because this is actually a community show, and I want our community to actually voice in and give their opinion so everybody else out there that's listening can get a better understanding of what we need to do to change the narrative that other people have put in front of us, that we control our narrative, we control what we put out there, we control our community, not any other culture or any other race. This is us, this is for us, this is by us, this is what we need to do. So, Marty, give me, in about a minute or so, just closing remarks. We're going to continue this show probably next week or the week after, maybe next week. I do have another show next week, but this is so juicy, we might have to just continue it for next week. But just give me about a minute or so of, you know, what are your thoughts about this particular topic that we're talking about tonight?
I mean, just to sum it up, honestly, co-parenting, you really got to remember what you're doing it for. You're doing it for the child. Put your feelings to the side. Be respectful to one another. And always remember the child comes first, just like you should when you're interacting with whether it's your children or whether it's your spouse's children. And it's very important that you also make, if you, like I said, if you're, you know, mixing families, you also have to make sure that other child is just as important as your children. You want to treat everybody with love and respect, and you want to set the foundation for them, because, I mean, it sounded so corny, but, I mean, the children are the future. And the only way that you're going to change it is a lot of these adults are already set in their ways. You want to make sure that you show these children as much love as possible, and you're also firm with them, okay? It's very important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I don't think I can say anything better than that. You know, it's basically about the children. It's about not being selfish, not having an ego. Men, swallow your pride. Women, even if he is not being that supportive, do not bash your baby father to your child. That is not helping. That's actually destroying. Uplift your child. Sooner or later, that man might change his mind, and it might be detrimental to you, but as soon as he changes his mind, that might light up your child's life. So don't ever, ever close off that avenue. So, Hamadi, I thank you for coming out tonight. I thank all the callers for calling in. We had an excellent show. Hopefully we can do this next week. If we do, it'll be awesome. Please call in next week, guys. Please listen in. And I thank you for your time. Love you guys, and good night.
Peace.